Welcome to Rot Nations. Hey, it's such a privilege today to have you watching and to have you joining in and seeing what God is doing in this generation. And today, we've got this legend in the faith, Reinhard Bonnke. He's going to be bringing the word, and we want to honor Reinhard. I mean, he's just such an inspirational father figure to this generation. He's one of the best communicators of the gospel of Jesus Christ I have ever heard. And so we wanted him on Rot Nations to help you understand how great God is. And he's going to talk about harvest. And we're believing that there's an incredible harvest of people who need to discover Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. So we're going to kick it off with some music by RPM and then turn it over to this great man of God, Reinhard. And I'll be back at the end to tell you more about Jesus.
Let's give a hand for Jesus. Come on. Amen. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. You may be seated. I must say I've been greatly blessed here at Rock Nations. We are not just rocking the nations. We are seeing them saved. Amen. And I feel the whole day something very special in my heart. And that brings it all down to that what's burning in my spirit. I believe somewhere here in this crowd, somewhere is sitting another Smith Wigglesworth, or someone who God is going to pick out and endue him with power from on high, give him or her such boldness that he or she will make great history in the kingdom of God. And that's what really counts, isn't it? That's what counts. Let me quickly tell you how my own family got saved. It just is part of this very, very story. My own family, my ancestors come from East Germany. Very thickly wooded parts of the nation. In about 1920, my grandfather, as a young man, was very sick. The family was, you can say, irreligious. They had no room for God. We are not religious. Although they belonged to the state church, they had never heard the gospel, never heard that Jesus saves. But in 1920, my grandfather became very, very sick, some form of rheumatism. He was touch sensitive. He screamed day and night. There was no relief from pain. They say they heard his screams at the end of the road. And then one day a miracle happened. An Assemblies of God missionary from America, Springfield, lost his way in the forest and arrived in the village of my ancestors. And instead of complaining that he had lost his way, he said, his first words were, when he met locals there, he said, "Is there anybody sick in this village?" They said, "Yes, here in this house, the Bonky House. That man is screaming day and night. We hear him all over." That missionary entered my house. He preached Jesus to my people. He prayed for my grandfather, who was instantly healed. The family got saved, and I, much, much later, was born to Pentecostal parents. When I look back today, I can only say one thing. When that missionary, he was an old man, he died soon after that. I never met him. His name was Louis Graff. But I know one thing. When that man entered the house of my ancestors, the Holy Spirit put the thread through my needle already. And I am still sowing. And I believe somehow here today, the Holy Spirit is going to put threads through needles. You won't go home the way you came. There will be an eternal purpose in your life. Maybe for the salvation of millions of people. And every time I've got my huge crusade meetings in Africa and I make the altar call, and I see how a million or 1.4 million, as just last February, received Jesus Christ as their Savior in 5 days. I somehow believe that missionary somehow gets a credit for that in heaven. I honor those who have sown in tears what we today reap with joy. When I was in Blantyre, Malawi, that city was founded by David Livingstone and named after his town of birth, Blantyre. And when I was there, somebody gave me some unpublished manuscripts from Livingstone. He said there something like this: I see very little results when I preach the gospel. As a matter of fact, in another book or what he says, he thinks that through his whole time as a missionary, he only had one convert and he wasn't quite sure of him. Livingstone. He says, we have labored and seen very little fruit, but in 100 years from now, other men will be here who will have more light. May they not forget us, the watchmen of the night. I preached there to a crowd of 150,000 people. And I saw more than 100,000 people getting saved. And here's the crux of the matter. Suddenly, when I read that and I compared that and I saw what God was doing, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said to me, you are walking on the tears of former generations of servants of God. And suddenly I could see it all. They had been sowing what we were now reaping. And we are not better than them. There's only one difference. Today, it's harvest time. It's harvest time. We are not better. It's harvest time. And imagine this. Imagine if we do not harvest, we will fail all sowers. This dare not be. And that is my challenge to all the young men and women here, boys and girls. We've got to pick up our responsibility. You have got to do it for your generation. Your generation will live as long as you live, possibly. And we cannot cater for past generations, nor so much for future generations. But may God help us that we hit it well in this time of ours. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender. Say amen. Amen. This is what burns in my heart. And what I feel I need to do here tonight is just to paint a picture of this awesome responsibility we have to win the lost. To win the lost. The lost must be won. The church is not a pleasure boat. It's a lifeboat. From the captain to the cook, all hands are needed on deck for soul winning, soul saving. And a church that doesn't win the lost is lost itself. I've said that so many times. And when we preach the gospel, it has got to be the gospel of salvation. And not just the last flavor of the month. It has got to be the cross. It has got to be the Savior. It has got to be sin and salvation, repentance and faith, hell and heaven. In Jesus' name. Because the Holy Spirit will bear witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus was not raised on the cross just to raise our standard of living. Do you hear me? He was not raised on the cross just to raise our standard of living. He was raised on the cross to save the lost, to save the lost, to save the lost. I'm after souls. That's my whole program. I have no other program. I'm after souls. I want souls saved. That's number one. And the second one, just blending together with it, is why I'm here tonight. I want to speak to those who are already saved to do what I also do. Because I know you don't need to be somebody who's super special for God to use you. I'm one example of it. And if God can use Bunky, He can use you 10 times. Do you hear me? Amen. 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 Blessed be the name of Jesus. I would like to show you a clip, if I may. This clip shows you the progression in my own life and ministry. I want you to see it for one reason. I want you to be inspired by it. You know, when I arrived as a missionary in Africa, I was riding a horse, 1 horsepower. And from 1 horsepower, I came to what shall I say, to the mega power of the Holy Spirit. Mega galactic, I think the young people would say. Mega galactic. What do you say? Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. From 1 horsepower to mega galactic. And I believe that this is happening. Don't despise small beginnings. Don't despise small beginnings. And don't be worried when people criticize you. They've criticized me forever. To the one I was too loud, for the other too soft, for the one too lively, for the others too stiff. I didn't care two hoots. I wanted soul saved. Amen. God may not really have a look at all your degrees, even if you have the whole alphabet behind your name. He's interested in other things. He's interested in other things. It's a matter of trust and obey. Lord, I believe. I hear your voice. And I'm going. And I'm going. Let me kick off like this. The woman at the well. We know all the story of the woman at the well in John chapter 4. What did Jesus say to her? Jesus said to her, go and call your husband. Off she went. And a little while later, she came back. The Bible doesn't say whether her husband or partner was among them. But she had overfulfilled her quota. She brought everybody else's husband. All the men from Sychar followed that woman. Now, what was her theology? She just got saved 2 hours earlier. What was her theology? No theology whatsoever. What did she say? She said, come and see a man. Maybe he is the Messiah. That's all she knew. And yet she brought in such a rich harvest. And then all of a sudden I saw something that had eluded me for a long time. Are you ready for that? Jesus saves sinners to save sinners. Jesus saves sinners to save sinners. And if we are saved sinners, we have an obligation to go and win others for the same glorious and wonderful Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And when that happens and we go out, we all of a sudden discover spiritual laws that work. They truly work. And this is what happened with me. I grew up in North Germany at the river, at the mouth of the river Elbe. It's about 10 miles wide. Where I grew up, it was tidal, ebb tide, flood tide. And we boys, when it was ebb tide, we boys were playing in the mud. To the horror of our parents. And in the mud, there were lying ships or barges, loaded with all sorts of things. Loaded with sand or bricks or cement or some building material. Sitting in the mud like dead ducks. We played around them. How much did they weigh? 50 tons, 100 tons, 10 tons, some bigger, some smaller. And I used to think as a boy of 12, no power on earth can move these ships. I tried to move them. You know, they had sucked themselves into the mud. And there they were sitting. But all of a sudden something happened. The tide returned. The water came back. And it began to swirl around those barges. More and more and more. Half an hour later, I, as a 12-year-old boy, stood at the pier and was able to move those barges with one foot. I never forgot that. This is a fantastic picture. When we preach the gospel, the tide comes in. And all of a sudden, everything immovable begins to move. The incurable is all of a sudden curable. And the impossible is possible with God. Say amen. What we cannot do ourselves, I can say that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that is true for you as it is true for me. Amen. Don't forget, Jesus saves sinners to save sinners. I'm not against studying the Word of God. Study as much as you can, because it is not an advantage to be stupid. Study the Word of God. It's never a waste of time to study the Word of God. The better you know the Word of God, the better you will interpret and preach it. You need to know the Word of God. It has to be Word-based preaching. But the Lord is the one who does it all. Amen. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of Jesus.
Hey, was that an incredible message or what? When I listen to Reinhard, I just feel faith building in my heart. And you know, the truth is, we need more young people, more Christian young people to understand their commissioning in God is to go out there and be practical and share the love of God with people. So get busy this week. We're praying that God will give you opportunities to use your hands to bring the harvest in. And if you need prayer requests or you're facing some challenges, take a minute to drop us an email because we're going to pray for every person who writes in. And we're believing God that God would do incredible things in your life, greater things in your life. And the Bible says this in Romans chapter 8, that God is for us. And when God is for you and He's for the people that you do life with, there is no sickness greater than Jesus Christ. There is no financial challenge that can stop the move of God in our generation. So come on, let's get busy. Believe in God for this harvest that's going to come in. We believe the greatest days of rock nations are lying before us. And we're praying literally that nations would be rocked by the power of God. So come on, let's get busy. And I look forward to hearing from you. Write into us. The details are on the screen right now. And then join us next week. Reinhard's going to be back talking more about God. And I'll see you there. Jake, go!